Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm the Scatman, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. The North London Derby is back and Lampard faces Bielsa again. It's Friday, the 4th of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm the Scatman.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Two Scatmen out of three. It's not bad.
Yeah. I'm happily leaving you to you, little.
You've done, I think he's done a Scatman before, quite recently.
Anniversary of his death yesterday.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Fair enough. There's always a reason.
Okay, Jim. Well, I'm not. Still not the Scatman?
No, I'm. Look, what you're into is what you're into. I'm not going to judge as long as no one else is getting hurt. It's not for me.
That, isn't that the Queen song?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's kind of got mixes into either.
People don't respect the follow-up single Scatman's World.
Oh, Scatman's World was brilliant.
He's back on board. Brilliant.
Back in the room, we can start the show.
He's late, Scatman John.
It was uplifting, wasn't it? Because you think someone like Scatman John, you think he's only going to be a one-trick pony because where else do you take that? But, you know, the initial song has got a bit of a brooding darkness to it. The second one, uplifting.
Hmm. Yeah.
Don't see it coming.
Apologies to everyone under the age of 30 listening to this.
Yeah, because if you don't know who that is, then that name is possibly going to throw you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, you've missed out on a huge part of popular culture.
Like, exactly.
For being too young.
Exactly. He's somewhere with Ebenezer Good right now, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. We had a bit of Europa League action last night, didn't we?
Mm.
Wins for Arsenal and who else was there? Rangers. I was just thinking of the British sides. I was about to say wins for Arsenal and Spurs, but of course Spurs did new.
They were pegged back.
It was a last-minute goal, if you will.
Like that.
Yeah.
Good.
Very good, mate.
Do you? By the way, a little word on Rangers. They beat Standard Liège 3-2. 23 games unbeaten this season.
You're going great guns.
18 clean sheets.
Yeah.
They've conceded a few goals in the Europa League.
And it's also, it's interesting because it's going so well for Celtic as well. So.
I know, and I know that city's very united. They like to encourage each other, drag each other
That's
up.
What Jim said.
That is what Jim said.
Can I spare a quick thought for...
Scotty Arfield?
No, I'm going to take it away from Rangers, Marcus.
Oh, well, I was just going to say the Wigfield chant. The
Wigfield
song.
Yeah.
We found out, many of you tweeted in and said
we
that
did.
Is dad. Wait, Jim. Scotty Arfield. Nice. No, that's what it is.
That's where it comes from.
Two things on that. Apparently, Lindisfarne, who were responsible for Fog on the Tyne, tried to sue Wigfield for Saturday night being a rip-off of Fog on the Tyne, which is a reach, isn't it?
Yeah, why are you suing Wigfield?
Hell of a
What's
reach.
She done?
And a friend of mine once pointed out
Leave
that
her out of it.
There is a background sound in Saturday Night by Wigfield, which sort of, it kind of goes doink, doink, doink the whole way through it. And he said it sounds like a goose in a Mega Drive.
And, and you can't unhear it.
You can't unhear it. So.
Why are we talking about Wigfield?
I don't know. But
why are we talking about Rangers?
Well, because they won in the Europa League, Jim. They've been very impressive. And you should give Steven Gerrard a bit of credit.
Can I perhaps bring to the table that the LASK manager has the best name in football.
Go on.
Dominic Thalhammer.
Nice.
That's pretty strong, that.
It's a great name. Mm. Mm-hmm. Dominic Thalhammer.
Well, when Moyes is done with West Ham, which might not be for many years, the way he's playing, yeah. Get him in there.
Yeah, I see that, yeah.
It certainly works. Yeah, it work. But the big news, of course, other than Arsenal getting a fairly routine win, was that there was 2,000 fans at the Emirates gym.
Yes.
And they were every one of them was clapped by the stewards when they came into the ground, which was quite nice.
That is a nice touch, isn't it? Mm. And it's funny, like I don't know if you guys had the same thing, but the crowd noise sounded weird when Arsenal scored the first goal, and I was like, oh, it's because it is because it's real.
Yeah.
But it's funny how quickly you get used to the fake stuff or the lack thereof. Mm-hmm.
It felt a bit like drinking a full fat can of Coke after only having Diet Coke for a while. Yeah, the taste is very noticeable.
I guess it did.
It's a very noticeable taste.
All right.
Yeah.
You were talking about Scatman, Annie. Don't look at me like that.
Exactly, yeah.
And I stand by that.
The things you miss, like just the crowd shouting man on.
Mm. Yeah, just,
stuff
like
little bits and pieces like that. And also, I think you could see... Maybe this is us projecting onto it, but Arsenal seemed energised by having the crowd behind them.
Like,
their play had a lot higher tempo than we've been used to from them.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, Arteta said they made a huge contribution. There was only 2,000, but it felt like it felt and sounded like a lot more. Sort of generic joke about Arsenal fans being quite.
Shout out to as I now would like us to call him Gubbosaurus.
Yeah,
because he contributed hugely to a massive gubbing for Arsenal.
He got a glorious welcome.
Great to see him, though.
Yeah.
Mascot. That's the thing.
Whichever one he is.
Whichever one it is, isn't there? Whenever you, it's good to see Ozil still making a contribution.
I was about to say his employer's obviously not giving him the night off, and nor should he.
But I read something earlier today about fans going about the stadium. I think there was an interview in one of the newspapers from a fan who had been to this Arsenal game. And they made a really good point, and it's something that maybe has been perhaps a little bit lost after everything that all football fans have been through over the last year, is that it's not just about the game itself, right? It's the rituals of mm-hmm. going, meeting your friends or going to the pub or whatever it may be. Now, I know some of those things still aren't available to football fans, but the whole routine and ritual of going to a watch your team play is a lot more than just the game, right?
Yeah.
So people might find that they've missed a lot more than they actually realise that comes along with going to watch their team. And I hope that the guys who went to the game last night, all 2,000 of the fans, enjoyed it. And I hope it's a sign of many more things to come. And I hope we can stay on top of it because it's a really, really big part of the culture, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And what a goal to welcome them back into the stadium. I mean, one can say, well, it was quite straight down the barrel of the goalkeeper and all this kind of stuff. But the swerve and the hit, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to see because Lacazette has, I think it was 8 games without a goal before that, and he needed one. I think, you know, that even though there weren't a crowd there, they were somehow still getting on his back a little bit. that's how it feels. Because, you know, sort of as you were saying last week, Luke, it's like that stuff now comes out on social media, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You see it on Instagram and Twitter and things like that, like aimed at the players a lot more. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was good. It was an energetic performance from him and really impressive. It's a funny one because you would think that it would give the team confidence ahead of the weekend, but basically none of those players are going to play. Well, some of them will feature, but a lot of those players will naturally won't feature. So you think it just gives a lot of confidence to players that aren't going to be involved. So does that, like, how helpful actually is that?
It's the age old thing though, Jim. It's like a bit of a cliche, but traditionally coaches have said probably, well, go and show me why you should be in the team.
Yeah.
Like, you're not being picked for a reason. Go and show me why you should be in the team. And,
well, a bit of competition is usually healthy for a squad. Yeah.
Apart from Pepe, who said, look, you can't play at the weekend because you're a fucking idiot.
Because you're an idiot.
So you play tonight.
Although Arteta was still fuming at him over sort of dallying over a shot at one point as well. Yeah. So he played really well other than that. But it's 16 goals in the Europa League for Arsenal this season, 10 in the Premier League.
Mm.
That is not ideal, is it?
Arsenal's like... I mean, on the Lacazette goal, I was just going to say very quickly, it's one of those goals where you see it first and you think, well, what a goal.
Mm.
And you watch it from the other angle and it moved a lot, but we're not used really that often to seeing keepers beat from that kind
of
range.
No, I know what you mean, yeah. What did you think of, there was a little kid in the crowd with the banner saying, bring Mesut back.
I mean,
just he should be
a one of a number of growing voices.
A lot of people are saying that, aren't they? Yeah. They're saying, "Oh, I should play Ozil," but he's not in the squad, is he? So, like,
when do they get to redo the squad?
Play Messi?
Is it like fantasy football? Like, you get to the reset?
Card.
Yeah, the wild card. Can he play the wild card? That's what I want to know. But a few people have been calling for him to get back in the side at some point. Paul Merson said he should be brought back in. And he said, "But if you play Ozil, you've got to play Partey." He said, "If you don't play Partey, you don't play Ozil." I think that comes up.
Arsenal needs to play Partey as many games as possible.
I definitely agree with that.
He might be fit for the weekend. He's certainly been back in training, so that's hopeful. I mean,
Jim, David Seaman said that Arsenal.
Listen to what David Seaman's got to say, Jim.
He said it, and he said it with a bit of spunk as well, but he said Ozil should be brought back into the side. Do you think Ozil has a future at Arsenal at all?
No, but this was always going to happen, and it was always going to happen all season. Mikel Arteta would have known that when he left him out of the squad. I imagine that he will leave him out of the squad again in January, which is, I believe, when they're sort of re-upped. Because he's had enough of the problems he causes. And I think, you know, we'll never really truly know how fair or unfair things have been on Ozil, because I'm not sure we'll ever get the full story. But clearly he's not the future, is he, at Arsenal?
Could he do a Gareth Bale? He is currently doing a bit of a Gareth Bale, but then go back to his former side and then do sort of okay.
I think
get him back at Real Madrid.
I think Jose will get him on a free.
Yeah, that's definitely good about
him. And he'll be the Ozil whisperer. Yeah. He'll get brilliant performances out of him. He'll flourish at Spurs.
Well, I'm looking forward to the North London Derby, certainly on the weekend, everybody.
I mean, not.
Well,
I think you say that, but there's 100% like a 1-0 Arsenal win. Yeah, 100%, like completely opposite to what you expect.
Well, Jim, you say about this win for Arsenal, does it mean that much? Well,
does it mean that?
I understand what you mean. You would rather they won than they didn't, quite clearly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And a little bit of confidence, even if it's to substitutes, there's still something there. Whereas Tottenham Hotspur drawing 3-3 away at Lask, of course, and Mourinho's comments after the game, I think there's a question of attitude, which I have experienced before, even at Manchester United. Come on!
So he can get so many digs into so few words, Jose. It's incredible.
I love it. I mean, that's Van Gaal-esque as well. Van Gaal's going, I know what you mean, Jose. I know what you mean. And he said, the fact that the Europa League group phase doesn't motivate some of the players, I knew it. Yeah. And he did. He basically saying, when we go to some of these smaller places, he says, I know that some of the players aren't up for it, empty stadiums and whatnot.
I'm just disappointed. I've just seen another picture of what Dominic Thalhammer looks like. He doesn't look that intimidating.
No.
I'd want him to look like a bit like Thor.
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He just looks like a kind of accountant.
Okay.
That's a shame.
Yeah, disappointing.
Uh-huh. Maybe he's really handy around the house.
Maybe. So sorry, Michael, I wasn't listening to the question.
Some of Spurs' players have got a poor attitude.
Oh, is that right? Jose's piping up all the time, though, isn't he?
Some of them are really bad at saving shots.
Well,
is that fair?
Is that a dig at Joe Hart?
Yeah. In a way, it's three digs at Joe Hart.
No, the third goal wasn't
two, I'd say. I'll give you two.
Yeah.
Third goal was a lovely one. By the third one, you got to be a bit more aware of them shooting from distance because you keep fucking up, haven't you?
To be fair, he made some good saves early on, but I suppose you can't bank them when the goal's
He made
going.
A really good save before the first last goal, but it wasn't a vintage night at the office for Joey Hart, was it? Let's make that absolutely clear.
It fell short of the standards he expected himself.
You always say that, Jim.
He always says it. He hasn't said it for a while.
No, he said it once in like 2010.
Yeah, I think he's going, no, this is the standard I have now. But Spurs, though, you know, they could do something in the Europa League. I mean, to be fair, I take what sort of Jose's saying, you know, poor attitude is not what you want to see ever, even if you're going into smaller games. But with a team like Spurs, you know, some of those players recently played in a Champions League final, you would expect them to grow into this tournament. They could win the Europa League, for crying out loud. They could do well.
Absolutely.
But they face Arsenal next. Mm. Eric Dier has said Mikel Arteta is the most exciting young coach in the league.
They're all being, like, coached in shithousery by Jose, aren't they? That's what this is. I'm completely. Yeah. It's very clever. Actually, I don't know if I've noticed this before, that he's got his lieutenants, hasn't he? And Eric Dier's clearly one.
He's been a huge fan of Eric Dier since
like his Man United days, really, isn't he?
He loves him
a long time. Well, we knew it. As soon as Mourinho came along, we were like, right, well, Dier's definitely in. And Winks is going to get even less football than he did.
There's some footage in the Amazon documentary where you can see Mourinho and João Sacramento looking at Eric Dier, and they're both saying, oh, he's a great player. He just loves him.
He does.
And you know, talk to me in Portuguese, Eric.
Remind me of the old country.
There is a point.
Let's get some wine out. We haven't trained yet. Let's get some wine out.
There's a point in the documentary as well when he says, you know, they need to know when to be typical Spurs players, let's say.
Yeah.
And clearly, Dyer's doing that, isn't he? But off the pitch, and they're coaching it. And fair play, I suppose, where it's due. But
Jose Mourinho did respond to that. He was asked about that, and he said, "Oh, you know, there's lots of good young coaches around." He didn't really rise to it.
Well, he said about Arteta, he won an important competition that you cannot deny. Correct. Did he really win it, though? It was like a Roberto Di Matteo Champions League sort of situation. To be Arsenal coach, you have to be good. but I want to respect the other coaches I do not know well.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Nothing, Jim.
Yeah. It doesn't mean anything, does it? And now we're talking about that. But I think, and his Instagram.
I think for Mourinho's
They're probably on the Arsenal training ground, literally right now, going, what does that mean?
I think for
What's he on about?
From Mourinho's point of view, though, it's a shithouse question to be asked.
Yeah.
One of your players has said that the Arsenal coach is a good coach. Great. Mm. Well, so what are you telling this for? It's the worst question since that guy from TalkSport asked Mourinho to follow him back on Instagram.
Oh, God.
Was that not a question? It's more of a demand.
Yeah. Mourinho just didn't even respond. and then he just went, all right, I'll ask you a question then.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It was poor.
I think that this is an interesting one. I mean, what do you think, Jim, of Arsenal and the sort of lack of creativity? Ian Wright has been calling for Willian to be swapped for Reece Nelson, saying that Willian's a bit negative, which is surprising because one can immediately think of Willian scoring great goals, you know, being very quick and so on, but he hasn't done a lot
at
Arsenal.
No, he hasn't. It's not. It's like he's left the yard of pace at Stamford Bridge almost. Like he's not really affecting games. He's got three assists, but two of those were on the opening day against Fulham, and obviously they were far from up to speed at that point.
Yeah.
So I think Nelson's been very good in the what I've seen of him this season, so I think that's fair. But I mean, Arteta really, really wanted him, didn't he?
Yeah.
And his set piece delivery is really good, although I guess if you've got free kicks and you constantly give them to David Luiz, that doesn't matter.
Mm.
Why they do that, I don't know.
Do you not remember that one in the 2014 World Cup?
Well, this is it. Yeah. It seems to be like
Roberto Carlos
on
the
tour. Yeah.
But I can see why he wanted to buy Willian, because, and I was surprised at the outcry of people criticising that move.
It's the money, I think, though.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah, but I mean... That doesn't really... What difference does that make?
Well, 200 grand a week for a player that's not likely to improve is a lot. And it's a three-year contract.
But for every time that someone says that about a player like Willian, you can say, well, okay, one, look at what he's won. Look at his experience. Look at what he can bring to the younger players in the team. Mm-hmm. Look at the example he can set. Something that Arsenal were crying out for.
Mm-hmm.
I've been led to believe that Willian's a really good pro. I don't know that. It hasn't necessarily worked out for him so far. He's not been terrible or anything. He's contributed a bit.
A bit.
But he's
not been affecting games that much.
But the point is, Arsenal's shots per game, touches in the final, in the penalty area, all goals, is abysmal in the Premier League. And that's not because they've signed Willian. That's because it looks like Arteta's trying to shore them up at the back and make them solid and make them tough to beat. And then maybe he's going to work on the forward. Now, look, have they been tough to beat? Not really. Have they stopped conceding goals? No.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's what he's trying to do to me. And it's an overhaul of a whole club, not just a team.
Absolutely.
And I think Willian being a lightning rod for that is because people need something to kind of latch onto, and they've kind of got bored of making it about Ozil.
I think,
and now people are talking about Arsenal.
It was Ian Wright who said it, by the way.
There's some truth in that, but
some people have been critical of Willian.
No. But I think that's been justified. I think in a sense both of those things are actually true. And also, it's funny to me that people think Ozil would come back in and be this like galvanising figure that would lead the team, because that's never been the player that
he needs to forget about him.
Yeah, exactly.
Needs to forget about him and move on.
But yeah, I think with Willian, I'm hopeful that it is just a coincidental, perhaps bad patch of form or adjusting to a new team, because the worry was that you're signing a player who's a little bit older, who's got a lot of mileage on the clock, and that the drop-off might start now. But his injury record's really, really good. He barely missed any time at all at Chelsea, so that tends to be something that means players play at a higher level for longer. So hopefully we'll start seeing the best of him soon.
Yeah. Is this going to be the game where Gareth Bale clicks?
He should have squared it to Son yesterday, shouldn't he?
And it's like the penalty.
He's not that.
No, Arsenal did it that time. The lack of confidence. Yeah. Do you know what? I'm just going to pass this.
Yeah. When Arsenal did that, by the way, they were 1-0 up.
Yeah.
Absolutely taking the piss.
Well, Mourinho said something interesting about him. I think it was Mourinho. Someone said it. I'm fairly certain it was Mourinho saying he's worried about his injuries.
Hmm.
Didn't say he's injured. Hmm. So he's worried about his injuries.
Yeah.
And that could sort of speak to perhaps a larger psychological problem. Or you could look at it and say, it's been a really weird year anyway. Mm-hmm. It's been a really difficult patch for him because he's not played an awful lot. And he's still coming up to speed. And Andy called it, I think, right when he said, look, Bale's a player who needs probably 7, 8, 9 games in a row. And, and it's difficult to see him getting that at the moment, because Spurs are the team they are and they're doing well. So part of me thinks, just because I've watched football for a very long time, that this will be a 1-0 win to Arsenal. Mm-hmm. And everyone will be like, what? How's that even possible?
I mean, actually,
but Spurs are a better team.
They are a better team, in better form, with a manager who is so good at figuring out Arsenal. And I would love for your prediction
to come true, but I am reticent to back it myself.
Indeed. Well, we're looking forward to that one, Jim.
Certainly. Yeah, we are. And by the way, there's a brand new episode of On the Continent out now, I should say. Got to get that plug in there. This week, Dotton and Andy were joined by David Cartledge to unpack the aforementioned Real Madrid's woes after they slumped to yet another Champions League defeat in midweek. Maybe they should have kept Gareth Bale. And they also asked what is going on with Eden Hazard, who again hobbled off with injury last weekend. And David gives his insight on Manuel Pellegrini's Real Betis, who only joined in July, but the West Ham slide already seems to be setting in, sadly. Head over to Football Ramble Presents now and subscribe. Just search Football Ramble Presents wherever you get your podcasts. I wonder if we should... It's David Cartledge. He is a Brit, but he's an expert on Spanish football. Let's start the campaign now to start calling him David.
Yes.
Yes. Because if we're calling David Moyes, David Moyes.
Yeah.
Because he spent 2 minutes in Spain. David Cartledge should be called David Cartledge.
David Moyes. All right. Well, maybe we'll mention David Moyes after the break.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join us for a very Clash of the Titles Christmas, because we're doing what every family does at this time of year. Arguing about which film is better. We've proof this pod is good for your Elf, as Elf takes on Santa Claus the Movie.
With Santa Claus the Movie, for years, I couldn't walk past a slice of ham reaching for it like a grubby
street urchin.
Yes, to God.
We're doing that festive thing of overindulging in sweet stuff. It's The Holiday versus Love Actually.
I've never seen women apologise so much for being women as in The Holiday.
And
And yes, they are Christmas movies. We've got Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon.
I'm so bored of that question, so let's flip it. Is Christmas a Die Hard movie?
That's Clash of the Titles this December. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Sakana production.
Merry Christmas!
I'm quite a placid guy.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Oh, Royston. Right, time for this.
Just email the show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Hi, everyone. We've got an email from Ian Grieg, and he says simply, "Hi, guys. In response to the story about the kid not getting the French national team signatures he wanted, I have a story about getting signatures I didn't want." Ungrateful. One I think Luke would appreciate. Back in the 1990/91 season, after falling in love with football following Italia 90, my uncle, who is a Southampton season ticket holder for life, invited me to the Dell for a home game. My 10-year-old self was excited, but realised I didn't know any of the players and didn't even really care for this team. As a surprise, my uncle had graciously managed to get me the signatures of all of the first team, including club legend Matt Le Tissier and future all-time Premier League goalscorer Alan Shearer. Ooh. I have no memory of the game at all, and on getting home from the game, decided I didn't really like Southampton and didn't want the notebook of signatures. I threw this notebook of signatures in the bin. It's Vish-esque level sort of like heel behaviour. Yeah.
Matt Tissier's probably got a conspiracy theory about that.
He will have, yeah.
Come
yeah.
on.
Notable conspiracy theorist and ex-footballer, yes. Matt Tissier.
That's right, yeah. This reminds me of a story.
That's so ungrateful.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. There's somebody, we mentioned this before. I think it was a story from a friend of the Ramble, Rupert Fryer, who said that a friend of his, he's a bit sort of Keegan-esque, this guy. He's a bit unlucky. Things happen to him and he's just very unfortunate. And they were at an England game at Wembley years ago when England played a friendly against Portugal, when I think Alan Shearer scored in that game. And they all ran down to get Eusebio's signature. And Eusebio was there, and he signed a load of them, and he got to Rupert's mate. Because Eusebio, you know, obviously he's...
Can you use his full name, please? Eusebio and Coyle.
Eusebio and Coyle. And he was sort of moving along the line, but obviously he was going up the tunnel. So he was signing a few signatures, and he got to Rupert's mate, and he went, "Oh, can I have a signature?" And he just went, "No!" And walked off. It's just like, this guy's so unlucky.
Better.
Yeah.
My friend, I might have told this story before, but my friend waited for hours outside a golf club because there was a charity golf tournament and there were Arsenal players there. This is back in the day. And he waited for hours and hours. And as the Arsenal players started to come out, the first player to come out was John Jensen.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, "Can I have your autograph, please, John?" And John Jensen went, "No, fuck off."
Oh, no.
Which made my friend cry.
Yeah.
And then he... Wasn't,
did he? Did that happen?
Told him to fuck off.
He was a tough tackler in every aspect of life.
I'm telling you.
All
right. Don't make me say the F word again on this show, please, Marcus.
You're flying up the swear word table.
What about this? Hello and greetings from Potsdam in Germany. Continuing the theme of dad behaviour at football matches.
No, we like this.
We have to keep this going.
Oh yeah.
If you're listening out there, you know the jingle, dad. Behaviour at football matches is what we want to hear about. show@footballramble.com. Tom says, "I thought I'd share this one from my dad. Before moving to Germany for work, I was a Watford season ticket holder for almost 20 years. To his credit, my dad bought us both season tickets for a few years and would drive us there every week. Sure, he'd want to beat the traffic in quotes every game, even though we only live 5 miles away, but he'd let me walk down the road and meet him somewhere quieter than the car park after the game. Anyway, we'd always get to games early, and I'd go down to the tunnel to meet away team players like Alan Shearer, Michael Owen, Teddy Sheringham, and it was from that tunnel that I once looked back at my seat and for some reason saw my dad playing the recorder." Yes. That irritating instrument many of us had to bash in at primary school. Unbeknownst to us all, he decided he'd learn to play it.
Where? How's he done that?
How's he got it in there?
Yeah.
How do you...
Up his sleeve, probably.
Yeah. How's he learned to play this thing without his family knowing?
So my dad, for some reason, decided Vicarage Road was the place to get his practice in away from my mum's attention. Fortunately, musical talent does not run in the family, and he soon binned that idea, and we've never spoken about it since. Very odd.
So incredibly odd. I mean, sometimes you look through the Football Ramble inbox and you think, this story is a lie. Yeah. This one's too weird to be a lie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's too specific.
I like to think that maybe at this point in the year, perhaps this weekend, Tom and his dad are up in the attic getting the Christmas decorations down, and out of one of the boxes falls a recorder, bangs on the floor, they look at each other, nothing is said, and they carry on about their day. Yeah. It is a recorder of which name must never be spoken.
Yeah. Although, actually, you know, Everton come out to the theme from Z-Cars, don't they?
Yeah.
Famously.
Quite a whistly theme tune.
Yeah, a guy I know who is a Watford fan told me that Watford certainly used to do that in the past, and this might even be around the same time. So maybe eventually he did learn a different instrument, a different wind instrument. I'm sure it's a transferable skill, and that's actually him.
Well, you say that, and I'm led to believe part of the reason kids are taught to play the recorder is because it is exactly that, a gateway instrument.
Mm.
It's kind of a way to feel your way around how, you know, the pitching goes and how you can play the notes. You could perhaps move on to, I don't know, something a bit more 80s, like the saxophone.
The decks.
Yeah.
Well, I don't get the, I mean,
they're all doing that at school these days.
Oh, Marcus. Absolutely.
Oh, happy just slapping in decks.
Happy slapping decks, push pops, super soakers.
Nerf.
Nerf.
Yeah, remember that?
They're still relevant.
Still
Nerf guns.
Still get them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What were you going to say?
I just find it odd that, yeah, that he would practice at Vicarage Road and that he would be allowed to practice the recorder at Vicarage Road. I mean, go to a noisy place because, you know, if you do any sort of rubbish bits, then it won't be obvious.
It's a it is obvious. I mean, you're holding a fucking recorder.
I'm not having it, Jim.
It's like the guy brushing his teeth.
It's
weirder than that, though, isn't it?
Much weirder than that. That's how weird it is. It's much weirder than that.
People often say that, like, starting out in stand-up comedy, it's like learning an instrument in public. But why actually do that? Like, why actually learn an instrument in public?
Yeah.
I just want to take a moment remembering that guy brushing his teeth at Stamford
Bridge. Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
It's one of the greatest moments of the Premier League.
So if you've got any examples of dad behaviour at football matches or anywhere else, let's be honest.
Yeah. Musical dad behaviour if possible.
Yeah, right. Show at footballramble.com. That'd be really handy.
Love, a bit
love
of
to
that.
Hear from that.
Gentlemen, let's go back into the Premier League. Chelsea face Leeds. Chelsea and Leeds have a bit of a weird rivalry, don't they?
An historic rivalry.
I would love the cameras to turn off the HD for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Get old cameras in. Make this look like the 70s. Cut that pitch up.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Chelsea have won 34, Leeds 39 in this very intense rivalry. And this is the type of game we want to see fans back at in due course, of course. And West Brom goalkeeper Sam Johnson, he's desperate for fans to return to Premier League games like this. He spoke about the Birmingham derby he once played in, and he said, "I do love games like that. Hostile. You're running over in the second half to your goal, and the abuse you get, coins thrown at you, pies thrown at you, bottles of piss thrown at you. It's crazy, but I quite enjoy it, weirdly."
Does West Brom goalkeeper Sam Johnson? He's not going to be involved in this.
No.
He plays for West Brom.
But you're talking about fans coming back in general. But I love that. Just coins, pies, bottles of bit, whatever you've got, throw it at me.
It's weird, isn't it? Because it does really read like a plea for people to throw piss at him.
Jimmy sounds like he wants to sit on a coconut shy, doesn't he? Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand.
When I was,
it's amazing. People actually go into the effort of pissing into a bottle and then throwing at me. Oh, I'm flattered.
So Chelsea v Leeds, for the younger listeners, has a long-standing rivalry which came about kind of the 60s, and obviously there's that famous 1970 FA Cup final.
Oh my goodness.
But the whole point is, Chelsea Leeds has got, the rivalry's got its own Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
That, because it's a thing, right? Mm.
I shouldn't have called it weird, sorry.
No, it's fine. I wasn't going to say that. What I was going to say was, there's a great quote in the Wikipedia article.
Oh, yeah.
And have a little think and see if you can guess a fan of which club wrote this, okay? The contrast between the clubs, which fueled the rivalry, has been best summed up as Yorkshire Grit versus Flash Cockney. No, I don't know about you, but I reckon that might have been a Leeds United fan that wrote
that. That's a person who has never been to Kensington.
Flash
You don't
Cockney.
Get many Flash Cockneys in Chelsea, do you?
People think that a Cockney is a Londoner.
Or just a Southerner in some cases.
That is true, yeah.
Meat and three veg, you Flash git.
To be fair, though, does Frank Lampard sort of sum that up for a lot of Leeds fans, do you think?
Maybe.
We'll see. But I'm hoping it will be a fiercely intense intensive encounter, because we want to see it.
Of course we do.
Do we want to see, you know, the equivalent of Jack Charlton being headbutted or headbutting someone else? Do we want to see Kung Fu challenges?
Well, Billy Bremner,
actually. Yeah, we do.
Bottles
actually.
Of flying urine? No. Or flying bottles of urine, rather. Luke,
that's
Luke,
a bit weird.
We don't, officially, we don't want to see that.
Mm.
Ask us unofficially, we'll give you a different answer. Yeah. Off the record.
And it's also worth pointing out that when the great Marcelo Bielsa got busted for spying,
yep.
That was against Derby County, of it course, was. Managed at the time by Frank Lampard.
That's why they're up against each other again.
It's a subtext.
Yeah, Lampard was a little bit annoyed at that. You remember when Bielsa did that whole kind of, look, here's all my workings for my tactics.
Yeah.
And like 6 hours later, they were still in there and he was going through it all.
It was a spreadsheet on an overhead projector.
Yeah. And
that translator really, really earned his money.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we think.
Yeah.
He could be like that one at Chelsea. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
He's still knocking around the club. I think someone emailed in about him a few years ago when... who was the manager? Would it have been Ranieri?
It was Ranieri, I think so.
When
Ranieri
would sort of, you know, as you would expect, give quite a full answer, and he would just look like a rabbit in headlights and go, well, Claudio says it was a game of two halves.
Dilly dong, dilly ding.
Yeah. He just spoke
before that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was the wrong way around.
Right before, yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. But I mean, it'd be interesting to see tactically what happens.
Well, Chelsea are a good team, uh-huh. and they've been great form, particularly defensively.
Tim Sherwood with A-levels.
Yeah. That was a quote. I think it still kind of works.
Well, Branislav Ivanovic has been full of praise for his former teammates, and especially about his managerial career so far. And he said he could become England manager one day.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, he's just been put on the spot there, isn't he?
Oh, he hasn't.
He's just got dead air to
that
fill.
Is a very brief highlight from what he was saying about Lampard. But it is interesting. But would we call this the Patrick Bamford derby? Or is that a stretch?
I think, given that it's got its own Wikipedia page because of the previous beef, I think Patrick Bamford is really going to have the ghost on to make this his own.
Is it? What is Bamford? Does he personify that Yorkshire grit?
No, if anything, he personifies what Chelsea is actually like in a way.
Yeah, that's true. That is true, yeah. I mean, I don't think... Did he play at all at Chelsea?
No, I don't think he did in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. But is he still contracted there? It's one of those ones, isn't it? I think this is going to be a good game. I thoroughly look forward to it. Speaking of derbies, it is the David Moyes derby also on the weekend. West Ham United versus Manchester United. Paul Ince derby, you know, make what you will.
I wish I could have got stuck into Fred on yesterday's show. That was so poor.
Is Fred going to play?
It's Friday, Luke. Treat yourself.
It's so poor. I just thought it was so irresponsible.
Are you as angry as Michael Owen? Is Michael
Owen
still
angry? Did he get angry about it?
Michael Owen, he went from, with the Fred headbutt the other night, and if you can call it a headbutt, I don't like a head. Can we call these things a head brush?
Well, our mate Lars Sivertsen, regularly found on the continent over on Football Ramble Presents, said that if you look at the wording of the laws, you can probably make an argument that isn't a sending off. But I think the referees tend to interpret it a certain way, don't they?
Well, Michael Owen, he went from, there wasn't much in that, but it is a red card.
Right.
Fair enough. To, you don't have to do these petulant little things to put your team at risk. True. And then he's gone too far. He said, if I was the manager of one of my players, this, he wouldn't play for me again. It's pathetic, really.
Was he watching a movie while this happened, getting more and more irate?
Imagine if Fred never played for Manchester United again because of that. What was he talking about?
And also, we have to... That's not the biggest leap here. The biggest leap here is Michael Owen is Man United manager.
Well, he said if he was one of my players.
If I was a professional football player and Michael Owen was the manager and said, you'll never play for me again, good.
Yeah.
I'm off.
Can you imagine Man United giving a manager a job just because he was pretty good off the bench for them? You just wouldn't see it, would you?
Do you think that the pressure's starting to build now, right? The pressure's starting to build on them on Solskjaer. And is this a game where if United get beaten, it's going to get worse and worse every time? We're still in that phase? Or do you think because West Ham are a good team and because they'll be at home, it's kind of one of those things? Because it feels to me now that every time Man United get beaten, he's on the chopping block, isn't he?
People,
I know it's because they're Man United and they're a big team, but he's getting a lot of stick now. And I think the way he was, as Andy, I think it was, who said yesterday, the way Solskjaer was so inactive against PSG on a number of different things, not just the Fred thing, he must understand the optics of that. He must understand that you've got to try and affect the game. You know, he didn't try and do that at all. You mentioned that he's a young manager. Well, implied in that is that he's going to improve because he's young and he hasn't done that.
Yeah, but that's the question.
He's not going to improve, is he?
Well, that is the question.
Anyone with a pair of working eyes and a brain, and I'm looking at you here, Marcus, who possess both those things, all three of those things, no, he's not going to improve.
Well, if he's not going to improve, then you've answered the question.
The man is a testament to mediocrity.
But what about Wayne Rooney? He's about to...
asking me about Wayne Rooney. It's not relevant.
Yeah, because I'm glad you've nipped that in the bud, because this ends at Sven. I think you've got to be fair to Solskjaer, though, and say that he's been in this situation a lot, and he's good at getting a result when he needs one to sort of stem
But they've got some good players. This is the thing, they've got some good players. It's almost a similar thing. I don't want to be unfair, but it's almost a similar thing with Lampard.
Mm-hmm.
Right, look at the players Chelsea have brought in.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
but we've seen improvement under Lampard.
We've definitely seen improvement, and that's why I say it might be unfair saying that about Lampard, but... The one thing you could really attribute to Lampard, I suppose, is the fact that they've done so well defensively. He's brought in Thiago Silva and they've shored up what was a really obvious problem and a problem that dogged him at Derby. So there's definitely improvement there. If you're saying to me, do I think Frank Lampard will improve as a manager? I'll say, of course he will. Will Solskjaer? I don't think he will. I think he's just mediocre.
It's interesting you mentioned Derby there. Because...
Yeah. Wayne Rooney?
They're looking for a new manager. John Terry and Wayne Rooney.
Job swap.
You know.
Wayne Rooney and Solskjaer.
I'm just saying that that Sir Alex Ferguson and David Moyes both managed Manchester United, famously and infamously. Both have been speaking to Wayne Rooney about what's going on at Derby.
And so it's like it's sort of the devil and the angel on his shoulders in a way.
Which one's which?
Yeah. Well, presumably he knew when one of them was arriving.
but Marcus, you like Fulham, right? They're your boys. Right? If they made a change of manager because Scotty Parker wasn't doing the business.
Well, he is, isn't he?
But listen, it's a flight of fancy, I know. Would you be happy if Solskjaer took the reins?
To be honest with you, I think Solskjaer would actually do quite a decent job at a lower end of the table or mid-table Premier League side.
Like Cardiff?
Yeah, just like Cardiff. No, I think he might do okay, actually. Because teams like that, as you saw what they did against Leicester, sometimes you need a bit of defensive stability to sort of hit teams on the break and so on, and that's his sort of style of play. I think that Solskjaer, we don't really know that much about him as a manager outside the context of Manchester United. I know Cardiff City fans will have their...
Well, he's managed 380 games.
Yeah.
It's not like he's, you know, he's not... brand new.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, fucking boring anyway, Solskjaer. Nothing interesting about
this. This game is quite interesting because West Ham and Man United are in identical form in the Premier League. They've both won the last three, lost the one before that and drew the one before that. So I think that's quite interesting, that little bit of symmetry. And obviously David Moyes will be out to get a win, won't he?
I thought you were going to say get revenge.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Get revenge.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I'll be interested. I'll be fascinated to see if Cavani starts the game. He's starting to get into a position now. He's forcing his way in, isn't he? And Rashford's not necessarily going to be fit. So, you can't really question or argue with what Cavani's done, you know, since he's come in. What do you mean? He's done great.
On the pitch,
on the pitch.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. Fine. Fair point. But this could be a really... Well, it is going to be a tricky game for Man United because West Ham are in decent nick, as Jim's already said. Let's go four to score because we are pushed for time now. It's time for Betway's four to score. Entry to Betway's four to score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. We've not been in brilliant form recently. I started off the season okay. I've kind of dropped off. Marcus, you've had a terrible time of it, but you're up first again because you will still get back on that horse to your eternal credit.
Absolutely.
Game one is Sheffield United v Leicester City. It's Sunday at 2:15. Mm-hmm. Who have you gone for?
It's Jamie Vardy, the man to get me back on that pony.
Mm. Yeah, it's a high percentage play.
Yes.
Good for you. Game two is Spurs v Arsenal, Sunday at 4:30. Jim Campbell.
So I've gone for a slightly... what may appear to be a slightly out of left field pick. I know Jose Mourinho has been saying that Harry Kane might be a doubt. That's probably mind games, but you've got to take it into account. And often in games like this, where there's a lot riding on it, you get quite an unusual goal scorer.
I know what you mean.
So I'm going to go for Eric Dier.
Okay.
Blimey.
All right.
Okay.
Interesting.
Possibly from a set piece. Well, you know, almost certainly from a set piece. You're not going to start him up front. Maybe he will.
For what it's worth, I think Harry Kane will play. I think he will. We didn't cover it earlier, but I think he will play. Do you think he'll play?
I think Dyer's going to get the first
goal. There we go. Game three is Liverpool v Wolves. That's a good one as well. Sunday evening. Up for that pick is Mr. Andy Brassel, and here's what he had to say.
Hello, Ramblers. Andy here. So, Liverpool versus Wolves. Yes, Liverpool immensely strong at home, etc., etc. However, they did have a particularly exacting Champions League game in the week. The injury list is absolutely huge. And so, for that reason, I'm going to pick my Portuguese favourite of the moment, Daniel Podente. I think he's going to come up with a shot goal. Not saying Wolves going to win, but of course on four to score, it's all about the first goal scorer. And I reckon Wolves might catch them cold early on with some of those Arsenal from last weekend vibes.
Thank you for that, Andy. It's worth pointing out, actually, that Liverpool might have up to 11 players missing through injury or other reasons. I think it might even just be through injury, actually. Yeah, it is. Crazy. But Daniel Podence is Andy's pick for the Sunday night game between Liverpool and Wolves. Liverpool's home record is astonishingly good, though. Mm-hmm. Game four, Brighton v Southampton. That's a Monday night game. That's my game. And I've picked that guy, Danny Welbeck.
Yeah, for the South Coast derby.
A South Coast derby. Fiercely contested by two huge clubs.
Weird rivalry.
Really, really weird, actually, yeah. two bald men fought over a comb. Danny Welbeck is my pick. So to sum it up, our four picks for four to score this week with Betway. Jamie Vardy, Eric Dyer, Daniel Podence and Danny Welbeck. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. You must be aged 18 or over and do gamble responsibly. Jim put me off with his little cough then. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. That's it.
There we
four
are.
To score.
And now it's time for what, Luke?
This. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yes, indeed. It's time for Luke's game. On my right, the people's champion.
Oi, oi!
Cruelly robbed of the lineal title last week in a barn burner. In a barn burner! Yeah. It's Marcus Speller. Marcus, how are you feeling after last week's disappointment?
I'm feeling fine.
Yeah?
Vish's been piping up a lot on Twitter.
Yeah, going,
I really don't. I want everybody to know I don't care about this.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent work. Excellent heel work.
Have you seen a kind of decline in numbers on Marcus Mount since
No. No, more, if anything.
More?
Yeah.
Well, British people love a try, don't they?
They do. And I think that people have been angered by Vish.
Yeah.
And so they've got themselves. They want to be known. They want their voices
to be
known.
Is he like the John McEnroe?
He's like Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
And I'm like Hulk Hogan.
Confusing. And to my left, a contender who has proven himself to be something of a dark horse over the months so far. Previous champion himself,
absolutely,
let's not forget.
Absolutely.
It's Jim Campbell.
Yeah. You'll notice that I've actually come dressed as the studio.
You have actually, today. Yeah. You look exactly like the studio.
Yeah, and my colour scheme matches the walls and the floor. And the reason I've done that is because it's all about incremental marginal gains here. And
I'm baffled.
I want Marcus to think that I'm just a floating head. Because if you saw a floating head, you think
fair.
That's probably clever.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a
thing,
performance.
How's
enhancer.
It doing that?
Yeah, you shouldn't have said it though. Now
well,
he's kind of clocked it.
But I think, you know, you and I both know, Luke, that Marcus is fundamentally quite mentally uncomplicated. So I think.
I don't think whether that's good or bad.
Marcus, I think that's disgraceful.
A case in point.
I think that's disgraceful. I completely agree. It is disgraceful.
Yeah, I don't know whether I'm being slagged off or not. Ignorance is bliss.
Well, what you do know, boys, what you both do know is that to be successful in this game, you need your fire in your belly and
your head in the freezer.
There we go. And on that bombshell, let's get on with this. Now, my algorithm tells me, not only does the algorithm select the players, it obviously tells me who goes first. It's normally in a title bout, it's very easy because the champion always goes second.
No belts here.
This is based on ranking. This is kind of like to try and jostle for position to be number one contender.
Yes.
And it's told me that Jim's actually going first.
Jim's first.
Right. Jim's first this time around. Five players. You know the drill. Here we go. The first player's played for 12 clubs in total. He retired in 2017.
It's always your heart sinks when you're 12. You want like five.
Yeah.
You
get annoyed at them.
Yeah. Stick about. Yeah. You get one.
So itinerant. Annoying. Right. First player, 12 clubs, Yakubu.
Oh, Gordon.
You like that? Like to hear his name? Welcome mention for him on the show?
God, that is a tough one.
It is tough. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. 12 clubs. One?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Marcus is... Jim's respectfully closed his laptop. Marcus doesn't have any electronic devices available to him on that basis.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for buying me that time.
No, now I need a number from you, because as ever, our listeners are the most important thing.
I am going to go with three.
Marcus, do I hear... Anything more from you on that?
That is...
That's is that the, in the sweet spot, is it?
The sweet spot, yeah.
Tactically very good, Jim.
Very good, Jim. Come on.
You want four?
Do I want four?
I think
four?
People want to see you bounce back after last week, so they'd probably be very happy for you to go four.
They'd be very happy for that, wouldn't they? This is ridiculous. 12 bleeding clubs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bloody Yakubu.
Okay, I need a number from you now. I'm going to hand it to Jim.
Get Jim to do his three.
Okay, Jim, I need three from you. Three clubs, one at a time, that Yakubu has turned out for in his 19-year career.
Wow. So, first off, Everton.
That's correct.
I believe West Brom.
Sorry, mate. That is a point to Marcus, I'm afraid.
See, I had three.
I was going to go Middlesbrough as the other one.
Yeah, Middlesbrough is correct.
Okay, Middlesbrough. So I forgot I had Everton, Portsmouth and Reading.
Portsmouth, yeah. Of course he played for Portsmouth, dickhead, Jim.
Reading was the other one because I remember he came back, but I couldn't remember the Chinese club that he played for.
Okay, well, I'll run you through them now. Maccabi Haifa's restarted.
Oh, yeah.
He went to Hapoel Kfar Saba on loan. Then he went to Portsmouth, Middlesbrough, Everton, Leicester City on loan.
Ooh.
Blackburn Rovers, Guangzhou, Al Rayyan, Reading, Kayserispor, and then he had come out of retirement, a little stint, just three appearances, I think, at Coventry City. So that's
but one. West Brom's one of those fair shouts where you go, yeah.
I could see him in a West Brom shirt, but unfortunately, you're incorrect there. So the next player is played for five clubs in total. Better. Marcus is first. he's still playing, actually.
No way.
It's Marcos Alonso.
Marcos Alonso.
Five clubs in total.
Okay.
What's your opening bid, please, Marcus?
Two. Ooh, sorry, Jim.
Two.
No, you're not.
Jim?
Yeah,
what do I hear
well,
from
I'll
you?
Go for three, obviously.
Go Marcus?
On, go on, do you...
Oh, Jim again.
The frustrating thing
I
is...
I know what the fans are thinking. Let home,
I'm playing it quite defensively there, actually. Mm-hmm.
They're thinking...
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
So three clubs, please, Jim,
yeah.
That Marcos Alonso's played for, one at a time.
So, of course, Chelsea.
Still there, bruv.
Bolton Wanderers.
That's also correct.
This one is a little bit of a stab in the dark.
That's what I,
I'm going to go for Real Sociedad.
Oh, afraid not.
Mate, that was the one. It was the Spanish club I was thinking.
Yeah. 2-0 to Marcus.
See, that was one of those ones because I got up first. I got away with that because who was it? Go on.
Real Madrid.
Do you know what? That went through my mind.
He only played, I think, once for them.
Okay. Right.
Then, Bolton Wanderers. Then he went to Fiorentina.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
And then he spent some time on like Sunderland.
Oh,
yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
And he moved to Chelsea.
So it was Real Madrid.
I don't know
was
why not getting Fiorentina has annoyed me. I've just pictured that magnificent.
Do you know, that's
kit.
So funny because I thought he went Bolton and then I thought he went to La Liga and then back.
No, he went to Serie A for a bit. Okay, it's 2-0 to Marcus, 3 to play. Jim, you're up first this time. You need to make a move now because you're in trouble. This guy retired in 2019. People will know him, they would have heard of him. Interesting player, actually, I think. Good player. It's Yossi Benayoun.
How many clubs?
11 clubs.
11 clubs.
Oof.
11 clubs in total. This took some working out, but it's 11 clubs in total, I believe. Yossi Benayoun. Play along at home. Get your notes app out on your phone.
Once again, 11 clubs.
See how many
clubs.
You can do.
I can definitely do four, but can I go higher than that?
Jim, you need to make a move here. You need to play this exactly spot on because there's no room for error now. Absolutely no room for error at all.
I feel like I might be forgetting an obvious one.
I'm going to push you for a number now, please, Jim.
I'm going to go... I'm going to play it defensive and go four and hope Marcus stumbles.
Okay. I'll go five then.
Okay, do you want six?
No.
Okay, so Marcus, I need you for the first time today to name a list of
I need to have a go, don't I? I can't just sort of sit back. That's
You've
fair.
Bid five.
Yeah.
So please do them one at a time now.
Okay. Arsenal.
That's correct.
Chelsea.
That's also correct.
West Ham.
Correct.
Liverpool.
Correct. This is for the win.
And this is the one I'm not sure about. Portsmouth?
Portsmouth, you say, for the win.
Come on.
What button am I going to press? Wrong.
That was naughty.
I would have guessed at Hapoel Tel Aviv.
It would have been
a guess.
For some reason, I just thought, did he have a little stint when Portsmouth was signing everybody?
Hapoel Be'er Sheva has restarted. Ah. Maccabi Haifa, Racing Santander, West Ham, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, West Ham again, QPR.
Ah, QPR.
Maccabi Haifa, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Beta Jerusalem, Maccabi Petah Tikva.
I could have used any Beta Israeli club.
Jerusalem again. So that's 2-1.
Do you know, it was Paul, but when you said QPR, I was like, yeah, that was it. It was one of those clubs.
I think it's on the red map.
Yeah.
So this is the fourth player. Marcus, you're up first. You're 2-1 up. If you get this one, you won. He's played for four clubs in total. He retired last year. It's Robin Van Persie.
RVP.
Jim's face is lit up there.
It has, hasn't it?
Absolutely lit up. He got a chance to steal it and go 2-2 if you don't get this right. Four clubs in total, please.
That's very frustrating because I think Jim's got all four.
Jim's not saying anything. I think a lot of our listeners will know these, I think. He's obviously a super modern player, superstar as well.
Oh, this is so poor. This is so poor. I should have all four. Oh, Jim, I'm not 100% on all four.
Could be a twist in the tail. Jim, don't say anything. You're doing yourself, a disservice.
An honourable man, Jim. It's like playing against the Scandinavian side. You know you're in for a tough game, but it's a fair game.
Am I honourable or do I just not understand mind games?
It's worth thinking about. Oh,
again, I don't understand what you're going on about.
Right,
there.
You're allowing him to stall, and I've got to nip it in the bud. So I need a bid from you, please.
I'll go three.
Three. Can you do four?
Yes.
I thought you could. Yeah. Okay, so Jim, you need to name all four teams, that Robin Van Persie's played for in his career, which went from 2001 to 2019. One at a time, please. Off you go.
I'm not 100% on this.
Oh, here we go.
But I'm going to go Feyenoord.
Correct.
Great. Mm-hmm. Arsenal, obviously.
Correct.
Man United, obviously, still hurts. And this is the one, again, I'm not 100% sure on, but I think Fenerbahce.
We must have a decider.
Yeah.
Correct. Well done, Jim.
Thank God.
So started and ended his career at Feyenoord and then played to those other three clubs in between, as you've
Fenerbahce was the one I was a bit like, sod it.
Okay, Jim's up first for the decider. It's 2-2.
Go on, Jimmy.
Another barn burner. Yeah. This is why Mark is the people's champion, because he's regularly in these type of fixtures, which are so dramatic.
Do not put a barn near Marcus Speller.
No, he'll burn it down. Flames. He will burn it down.
You'll have to store whatever, store your tractors in a bunch of ash if Speller's around.
Right, here we go. Jim goes first.
Yes, he does.
Eight clubs in total. Retired in 2014. A very, very well-known player. Turned out for his nation as well. Eight clubs in total. Wayne Bridge.
Bridgeo.
Wayne Stanford, as James Beattie used to call him.
Eight clubs?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go four.
Okay, Marcus, do I hear five from you?
Go on then.
Jim, do I hear six from you?
You do not.
Okay, so this is from, you know that if Marcus gets these five, he wins.
Yeah.
Okay. Five clubs, please, Marcus, that Wayne Bridge has played for, one at a time. It's in your hands now, brother. It's Tapao, China in your hand, to complete the 80s references for the show.
I really regret saying I'll do five.
Well, you're going to have to try now.
Chelsea.
Correct.
Manchester City.
Correct.
West Ham.
Correct.
Southampton.
Started his career there, correct. One more for the win.
Derby County.
Someone's going to win. Someone's going to win.
Let me add a little bit of to that.
Derby County, you say?
Derby County.
Jim Carr!
Oh, Jimmy's done it!
Two defeats in a row for Marcus Speller.
Damn it all.
Wayne Bridge has not played for Derby County. He has, however, Marcus, played for Fulham.
Of course. Bloody hell. That's
Southampton,
really poor.
Chelsea, Fulham, Man City, West Ham, Sunderland, Brighton and Hove Albion, and ended his career at Reading.
Reading was the one.
Jim Campbell wins. Well
Jimmy's
played, Jim.
Done it.
Marcus, were you thrown by my camouflage?
It's very much.
Do you know what? Think about in future?
I can't even see you.
who's saying that?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know who's saying that.
He's like buzzing around me.
He's come from nowhere.
He's the flea. He's like Messi.
So, Jim, Marcus, two defeats in a row.
Yeah.
Disappointing for you.
Very disappointing.
Jim, you have now beaten the guy who was the champion. You've been the champion in the past. Do you have a message for Vish?
I look forward to embarrassing him.
Great.
I look forward to making him care about this.
Yeah,
because it's a disgrace that he doesn't.
Mm.
This is the most important game
people
in football
care
podcasting.
About this.
Exactly.
Absolutely
right. These are lots of the people out there, and Vish needs to know better.
What a comeback from Jim. 2-0 down he was, I think.
Great stuff.
Marvellous.
Yeah, you love to see it.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
A couple of own goals, but you know.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure. Until Monday. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.